Hello, music friend. Welcome to the Compassionate Measures podcast. I'm Jennifer. We offer intimate conversations with singer-songwriters who use their talents to change the world. You'll have a rare opportunity to discover the artists behind the music, what moves them to act, and how you can contribute to the projects we'll learn about from these amazing musicians. So pull up a chair and let's talk. For more than two decades, our guest, a wordsmith, TEDx speaker, stand-up comic, family man and troubadour, has delighted audiences around the world. Planet Bluegrass calls him a first-class songwriter with a poet's gift for fresh imagery. And Counting Crows frontman Adam Duritt says, there are few people in rock and roll who are just so great. He's received the Armed Forces Entertainer of the Year Award, and his work has been nominated for a Grammy. Rolling Stone magazine describes his sound as John Prine fronting the Heartbreakers. Welcome, Stephen Kellogg, to the Compassionate Measures podcast.
I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for sitting down to talk with us. You know, what we try to do is, through conversations, we like to gain an understanding about the artist behind the music, the causes that you support, what moves you to take action, then finally, how we might contribute to those charitable projects. So we'll go ahead and get started. Pull up a chair. I'd like to begin by asking you, did you witness philanthropy growing up, or what was your first experience with charitable giving?
Wow, what a great question. It's interesting because my family definitely was involved in things in sort of a hands-on way. I saw them, you know, not necessarily fundraising, or I wasn't a firsthand witness to financial contributions, but I saw a general sense of let's help others who need help, you know? Uh-huh. And I saw my mom, you know, working with every Thanksgiving, they would do a turkey drive, and they would go out and they would bring the turkeys down to the shelter, and you know, and the turkeys would be distributed. And so I saw that for year in, year out. That was a tradition. Sometimes these were things I was involved in. Not always. I feel like I'm a little more heavy-handed with my kids than my parents were with me. You know, they were just doing it, and they weren't being like, Stephen, you have to do this. You got to do this. They were just sort of leading by example. I feel like with my kids, I'm a little more prone to like, come on, guys, what are you doing for others? You know,
That's great. That's great. So what kind of general issues do you support?
Well, I mean, I have an opinion about everything, even things I have no business having an opinion about. And I'm old enough now to sort of realize that. So in terms of what I contribute my time and energy to, at some point I wanted to lock in, because I am a musician and because we have this larger megaphone that we can use, right. I thought we should be a little clear about what we're going to support, because people do ask, you get asked a lot to donate in ways, and you've got to kind of figure out where you're going to put your energy at various times. And so pediatric cancer was one that really, years ago, I played at St. Jude Children's Hospital in Memphis for the first time. And it just changes your life. You just realize so much from that experience, and it became like, all right, so each tour, let's try to find a children's hospital we can go do a performance at. And when it comes time to, you know, give our, you know, for my organization, pretty modest financial support, but we try to give some. I want the sense memory there, so that when that day comes, when there is real resources, we are well conditioned to offer some of that up to places that it's needed. So pediatric cancer was always a big one. But as my own kids get older and you learn more, you know, human trafficking's become a big thing that I find myself wanting to raise awareness and just like that, you know. And what we did with the kids is each Christmas season, I just said, you guys have to pick. We're going to, you know, I'm going to make the contribution, but we're going to raise money through our online family store. And I want you to do the research on an organization that matters to you, you know. So one daughter has, you know, has quite a few friends who've been affected by gun violence. So that every town, you know, became a thing for her. Another daughter is very in touch with nature and animals and always wants to support, you know, Ocean Conservancy or Greenpeace, you know. So I try to let them pick where they want to put their efforts. Cancer, I mean, we're all affected by cancer. There's so many places to get involved, but I think doing this with them has been eye-opening because it lets me understand too what matters to them.
Absolutely. What a great experience. What a great experience. You mentioned the Kellogg Family Store. Can you elaborate a little bit about how you support St. Jude or pediatric cancer through the Kellogg Family Store?
Well, you know, this, I don't know if this is the answer. This is the truth. It's at some point, we're a small business, you know, we're a very good small business, but we're like your family. We're like the pizza place in your town where the kids are working behind the thing and it's a great pizza place, but everybody's working all the time, you know? That's what it's like being in the Kellogg family. Like, it's just, so years ago, probably five now, we decided, look, if we fill all our own orders for our merchandise, our records and t-shirts and songbooks and books and all this stuff, we fill it ourselves, we can keep more of it, which allows our family to survive. So we said, we'll call this the Kellogg Family Store. We'll have our four girls work at it. It'll be good education. They'll do their chores. As it has worn on, if I'm being completely honest, it's my wife and I a lot of the time doing a lot of the work. And when they get in there and help us, we're all like taking pictures and using it to help brand, like, look, it's a family affair. But man, we sometimes are like, great family store we have here. It's me and Kirsten up till midnight doing things. And so we, you know, that's our family business. That's an element of our family business. And but we do try to get the kids involved when we can. And through that and the work that they do there, the expectation is, you know, we're gonna at the end of the year make some contributions in your name to an organization that you support, you know?
Right. Yeah. I remember years ago ordering lyrics, the handwritten lyrics.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that. Absolutely. And are you moving towards tiles now? Or are the tiles what you do for charity? Or?
You know, we had a box of tiles that didn't get used when we were doing a shower or something. And I was like, what do we do with these? And then we went outside and we started painting them just for fun. And then I was like, I just started putting lyrics of mine on them and then handing them to the girls and then they would paint. And when we brought them out, it was a nice, I just brought them out to shows and it was, and people started buying them up. So it became kind of a fun thing. It's not something we do all, like the handwritten lyrics, it kind of comes in and out. When there's bandwidth or it's Mother's Day or something, we might say, hey, we're offering handwritten lyrics for the next month. You know, personal serenades. I just, you know, if you're not going to be the biggest, you can still have an impact in a more, you know, the quality over the quantity sometimes. So it's been the honor of my life to know that my music and art means something to the people it means something to. I'm under no illusions that I'm the largest artist in America, but realizing you can touch people's hearts on a micro level is still an incredible thing. So a lot of times if we just think of a cool idea, we'll just say, let's try it and see if people are wanting more of it, we'll do more of it. And if we're having fun with it, we'll do more of it. And when it gets to be too much, we'll put it on pause for a minute. And it's fun. It's a fun way to live. It's, you know, it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not only, I guess, a fun way to live, but if this is what you're using in order, you know, to support organizations or charities, then it's even, an extra dimension of fun and goodness.
Sure. Yeah. Well, some of it gets there. Some of it, a lot of it supports the Kelloggs too,
Sure.
it's like
As it well should, but yeah.
keeping things but yeah, I mean, it's built into our DNA that part of what we are gonna do in this life is gonna, I mean, we want the goal is to have an impact, the goal
Right.
is to do as much good as you can, and that's in whatever way that exists. And so being able to keep your job, and these are things that this does. It kind of starts there. I think sometimes there's a temptation to get overwhelmed by giving because you think, man, my
Yeah.
life is so chaotic and intense, and I'm so worried about my own ability to meet financial things that you go, I can't give. But then when you just make it part of your life, you go, okay, I can give a little time here and I can give a smile there. And sometimes you don't have much to give, and that's okay too. Like, it's okay.
Right.
You don't beat yourself up about it or judge everybody else. It's just making it part of of your life,
Exactly. Now that makes so much sense. Let me ask you, do you remember a place that you visited or individuals who've impacted your life simply because you said yes and you lent your support to a charity?
Sure. Well, I already mentioned, St. Jude, and then that led to, St. Louis Children's in Seattle and the Tomorrow Fund and so many of those. We used to go play for the troops quite a bit, and we did that at a time when politically there was a bit, there were wars going on, and not everybody agreed on whether these wars should be fought. And we just thought, these are people that are really giving their time more than anything. I mean, for a lot of folks, they don't join the military because they're looking to get involved in a war. You do it because it's a job and they're willing to do it, And so us going over and playing these shows and realizing that you don't need, it doesn't need to be political. It can be like, thank you for spending time away from your families, to support this country that we have here that we're trying to hang together. And that was so, it was, there was so much humanity in that experience, in meeting mothers who hadn't seen their children in 9 months because they're on a tour on an aircraft carrier. Really change, they're just, I mean, and these are people just trying to keep peace. They're not fighting active wars, and you get a little less smug when you've seen that up close about, how much we oversimplify political arguments. And if they would just do this, if the idiots in Washington would just do this, it's such an easy, lazy thing to say that, but try solving these problems and try managing tens of millions of hundreds of millions of people. It's a lot to manage, and so that has changed me. It's made me a little less presumptuous that I know everything,
Can you connect a song to an event, perhaps a benefit event that you did, so that when you hear that piece of music again, it takes you back to that place with its own distinct feeling?
Well, I don't know if this was a benefit, but it wasn't a it was a modest event I did recently where I went in and I spoke to 700 teachers, and I really appreciate school teachers. I married one. I think that they are doing some pretty challenging work and not always with as much reward, as they probably deserve. And I played one of my newer songs, It Goes Fast, which is a song about, the time passing very quickly, and hoping that we've done as much good as possible. And I remember, sort of looking out and seeing these teachers nodding their head and some of them getting a little emotional, and feeling very connected, like, wow, these songs are really for everyone, not just people who like singer-songwriter Americana or whatever, right? Whatever you want to call it. And so, yeah, singing that song since that date last fall has I think of those teachers often.
That's great. And your songs are for everyone, you know? I mean, so, but of course.
I hope so, but it's yeah.
Have any experiences or have you picked up any insights that surprised you that you didn't see coming along the way?
That's a broad question, Jennifer. Yes, thank goodness.
It
Yes, I mean, we
is.
definitely you learn as much as you can. I'll tell you one insight that is, you learn as much as you can, but you will always be who you are. You know, you can grow a bit, a bit. I don't know. I'm never not going to be a very emotional person. You know, I'm always going to be that way. That's what allows me to write songs. It also can allow me to be a bit melodramatic. And my wife calls me Minor Injustice Man because little things really bother me, you know? And that's part of it. It's part of being an empath, is you have an open conduit, lots of stuff coming in, like a turtle without a shell, you know? And I think there is a tendency to make a case against one another as we go through life. Oh, that person does this and that person does that. And, you know, why, how come they don't know? If they were a good person, wouldn't they just not, you know? Or I don't like when that person cries too much, you know? But it's like, you're not gonna really be able to change that. And it's like a leopard can't change its spots or whatever the saying is. Like, doesn't mean you can't grow, and I think you become self-aware, but you really are gonna be who you're gonna be most of your life here, you know? And so the best thing you can do is learn to accept it, try to be very self-aware and stay on the highest frequency of who you are, and do the same with others. Accept others in that same way, you know? Look at the people that you tend to judge. We all judge our parents pretty harshly. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, they do this and they do that, and it drives me a little crazy. But maybe then you don't need them to change. You just say, this is who they are, and I love them because they loved me growing up, and they made sure that we got to eat, and they got me to school, and they got me where I am. And I'm thankful for that, even if it wasn't a perfect upbringing or something. You know, that's a big insight for me.
That is an insight. That's a huge insight. How do you keep, so in spite of all that or with all of that, how do you keep a hopeful outlook moving forward?
Well, some of this, again, I think goes back to you are who you are. I am a fundamentally optimistic person. And so when I get hurt or angry or sad or, you know, all the things that could kind of just knock you down, I think I became an artist because you want to, by way of, like, it's like you're clearing out. You're like, okay, a lot of toxic stuff sitting in here. How do I move through this? Get it out of my system. I write songs. I have conversations like the one we're having. I write books. I tell jokes about, you know, if you're not laughing, you're crying. I kind of work my way out of it. I spent a lot of my life in a pretty melancholy state of mind, but I would not say I'm a pessimistic person, you know? So by the same token, now I want to point out that some people have a little bit more of an Eeyore disposition. It can be very hard to be around because even when things are great, they can kind of, like, well, you know, they can't see it. And maybe that's okay, you know, maybe it's okay that they're like that. And you just kind of go, okay, you're not a generally a hopeful person. Learn this about yourself, acknowledge it. And maybe there's little exercises you can do to try to remind yourself that there's a lot to be hopeful for, you know? I'm very concerned. I'm very concerned with the world as it lies right now. very concerned. I mean, if you've read any history, if you're paying any attention, there's a lot to be concerned about right now. But if you eliminate hope, and if you eliminate a lot of people, like you're doing a podcast, I'm doing my art, action, you need to keep doing things to try. You can't just hope. You gotta do more than, if all you can do is hope, then okay. But if you've got it in you to do a little more than hope and to do some action, you should. Like, if you lose that optimism, then you're really sunk, because then you're really not going to get anywhere. You've got to believe that there's a way out. There always has been a way forward. And let's hang on to the idea that there always will be a way forward. We just, may not always be able to see it right this minute.
Right. You mentioned action. And that was kind of my next question. With whether it's pediatric cancer, whether it's some of the other issues that are concerning to all of us right now, what would you like for us to take away today as your call to action?
Well, see, I could grab onto a million charities or things that are important to me. But I think that my call to action, based on the conversation that we've just had, would be, if you're listening to this, you're already, if you're listening to this podcast, you already have an interest in giving, or me, maybe. I don't know, but I think we've just discussed some really big ideas about being self-aware, being less judgmental, maintaining a hopeful outlook, being a giving person that looks out for more than just yourself. It's not charity to others, it's charity to yourself. When you become that kind of person, you will feel better about yourself, So
Right.
my call to action would be, listen to these words. Write down those four ideas that we worked hard to talk about and have today, and maybe let them allow them to make some positive change or movement in your life, Remind you of things that you knew but maybe haven't remembered in a little bit.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about you. What are you working on these days? I know you're just getting home from an incredibly successful tour.
Thank
So what, how is this week? What are you working on right now?
Well, I envisioned this week would be like, shutting off the phone, because the phone and so it's just, that stuff breaks your heart. So I had this vision, like, I'll do that and I'll sleep late and I'll walk in the woods. It hasn't been that, but it also hasn't been that, because we do have great fun momentum going. We just finished doing a tour that was half music, half stand up, and a kind of a one man show thing, and we really like the format. So what I'm going to be doing in the upcoming time is we recorded all these shows, so I will go through this sometimes painful process of re-listening to everything I just did, seeing what works best, what works less so, and making notes, and planning to tape a special in the fall around a lot of this humor and stuff that we just did. I also have a novel that I've co-written, and we're going to do the fifth draft of that in this next little bit while I'm home. So we've got the writing thing and then the special. And then we have some new music coming out. We've got a song coming out on Valentine's Day, and a couple more that I'm finishing up. So there's some work to do there. And then we've got to plan the future. The future, I'm a road warrior. I tour a lot and have always sort of made most of my living speaking or playing in front of people. So for the first time in probably 15 years, I don't currently have any shows booked. We've never let that lapse. But we wanted to see where we were at the end of this tour. Now that we know, we're like, this is going to be fun. And we've got to make our decisions about where we're going to go and when we're going to go there. So there's a lot going on, and I'm excited to get to all of it and completely overwhelmed by all of it. And just, like everybody else, it's just, life is, it does not stop.
There is a lot, but it sounds like a lot of fun. And I know that just by watching your social media and that kind of thing, it's been a fabulous last several months or whatever for you. So really excited about that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you
Absolutely.
for sharing that
Absolutely.
excitement.
Yeah. I do want to add that a link to Stephen's website, which includes his bio, music, the book, the Kellogg Family Store, and lots more, along with a link to St. Jude, will be included on our website and in the show notes. Stephen, to finish this up, I want to say a chapter, an entire chapter in your book, Objects in the Mirror, is devoted to the concept of heroes and your own heroes. You say that heroes are examples of what we strive for, along with the importance of allowing our heroes to be human. During our conversation, you've given us that glimpse, that example, if you will, of what to strive for, as well as plenty of inspiration to be someone's hero. You're doing a great job of it.
Oh God, you're gonna make me cry. Thank you
Well,
very
good.
much. I
But
appreciate that. I appreciate that.
thank you, Stephen Kellogg. Thanks for being on the Compassionate Measures.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining today's conversation. You can find links to our guest bio and the organizations that were mentioned in the show notes. Hear more conversations at compassionatemeasures.org and invite another music friend to pull up a chair. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please subscribe and review wherever you listen to podcasts, or let us know what you think over on the website. Join our community on Facebook or Instagram, and please consider making a small donation to those charities that we learn about from our guests on the show. Thanks always to you for listening, to our incredible guest artist who's out there changing the world, and to Chris Downey for putting it all together. We'll see you next time on the Compassionate Measures Podcast.